Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Juicy woman, welcome to the Love in the Skin You're In Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Andrea Amador. I'm the author of the book Love in the Skin You're In, and I'm a curvy and confident body image expert and empowerment coach. And I'm walking the talk of body acceptance and personal power. I'm offering this show for you as my gift, as a woman who has spent years hating my body and knowing exactly what it feels like to never quite feel good enough. In the coming weeks, we'll be having several guests to share their expertise with you on loving the skin you're in, so many different aspects of it. To get the weekly invitations for the show and to follow me, I encourage you to join me on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. My intention for you is that as you tune in each week, I'll hold a space for you to feel and be more powerful in your life. This week, we're going to be talking about how you feel in terms of forgiveness. What do you think of when I talk about forgiveness? How do you feel about that? When I say forgiveness, what comes up for you? What kinds of thoughts are going through your head? You know, actually, to be really clear, I wanted to ride the edge and title this show in an edgy way so that it would really speak to many people. I decided forgiveness and letting go, are you effing crazy? Because many times when I've talked with people about forgiveness, that is the exact response that I've gotten. I have to share with you that I've had a lot of situations in my life where I struggled with forgiveness tremendously. And because I struggled with forgiveness and withheld forgiveness from others who have hurt me, it ended up hurting me. I really want to hear from you. I'm holding a space for you. The number here to call me is 760-888-5736. You know, if you think about it, there's really an element of anger in that. Are you effing crazy? And you know that I'm cleaning it up. It's because inside of us, in our hearts, when we've been hurt, the idea of giving someone forgiveness, first of all, there's a whole question about that. Many people, you know, go the religious route and they feel that only God can give forgiveness. But if you really think about it, there's so much that goes on in our lives. And if we hold on to all of the things that have happened to us, who really gets hurt? It's us. I really want to hear from you. The number is 760-888-5736. As I mentioned last week, I am so passionate about causes where I'm educating the public on behalf of violence against women. As part of sharing my passion and experience with others, I often speak and I create programs for schools and universities. The last time that I worked with a group of at-risk girls at Spring Valley High School, I brought some props to illustrate a point. I always love to have fun with the girls and just be playful. The day earlier, I had spent time collecting rocks of different shapes and sizes because I knew that I was going to spend time with the girls, and I really wanted to get a point home to them. You see, I went in knowing exactly what it was that I was facing. Many of these girls had been abused, and they were either cutting themselves or engaging in other high-risk behaviors like drinking or being promiscuous. And the things that were going on in their life were causing them a lot of pain and suffering. I want you to realize that many times the things that we do, just like those girls, the things that we do are a result of the hurt that we're feeling. We don't realize it, but many times we try to punish ourselves because we feel guilty for things that have happened to us. I had carried around the burden of guilt and feeling so incredibly shameful because for years I thought of my abuse. I have a past with sexual abuse. I thought it was my fault. And many, many people will feel the same way, that when you have been abused and when you have experienced abuse, there's this feeling of it's my fault. It wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have allowed it, or I should have told somebody. I shouldn't have been silent, or I shouldn't have believed him. There are so many things, there are so many scenarios that go on in our head of wanting things to be different. And that's just human nature. We struggle to get out of suffering. And in doing that, by looking for a way out, we kind of make things worse for ourselves. How are you punishing yourself? What are the things that you are doing that might be the result of pain that you've experienced, or perhaps pain that's going on right now, a situation in your life that's going on that's hurting you, and you're feeling angry, and you're feeling like you refuse to let go? Do you have something that you're holding on to? What could it be costing you? Well, I was pretty astonished when I started doing the research for my book, Love in the Skin You're In. I started studying about the mind-body connection, and I was learning about the way that our thoughts affect our bodies. And one of the books that I read in the process of writing my book was, it's called Getting Well Again. And it was written, I think, back in the early 80s by Dr. Simonton, Dr. Carl Simonton. Dr. Carl Simonton and his wife continue to be and were oncologists in Texas. And together with another gentleman, I don't remember the name of that doctor, but I'll post it for you in the next Twitter post. They were doing an experiment where they were starting to realize that the patients that would come to them with cancer, they would do this extensive questioning of them. And through that, they discovered that there were common threads. And one of the most common threads amongst the patients that developed cancer was that these people were holding on to resentment from their past. There was something that happened in their past that they refused to let go of, that it was hurting them so much, and they wanted so much to let it go, but they had no clue how. They were so angry, and they were so hurt, and they were profoundly disappointed and in pain and suffering over something that had happened many years ago. Unfortunately, in many cases, there was nothing that they could have done. In situations like that, remember I had told you in earlier broadcasts, earlier episodes, that our bodies can either make us well or they can make us sick. And the way that works is because when you think certain thoughts, it creates a cascade of hormones and chemicals to flood your body. When you're thinking angry, sad, pain, anxiety-ridden thoughts, you're producing hormones like cortisol and adrenaline and insulin. These things are creating illness in the body. They're damaging your organs. They're creating problems with inflammation and heart problems, irregular heart rhythms, all different kinds of problems stem from those types of chemicals, which are traditionally related to stress. When you're thinking positive thoughts, when you're feeling good, when you're feeling relaxed, your muscles are relaxed. You're releasing dopamine. You're releasing serotonin. These are wonderful. These are feel-good chemicals. But let's step back and think again about the kinds of things that go through our life. Each of us has a different story. And that story is based upon the life that you led, the people who have made an impression on your life, whether they are parents or teachers or godparents, or anybody who has helped in terms of raising you or teaching you the things that you have learned. If you think about, here's a metaphor. Just imagine yourself to live in a palace. And within that palace, there are walls. And on the walls, there's writing. And the writing on your walls is based on what you've experienced, the things that you've learned, the people that you've come across in your life. These are the rules that you have for yourself that keep you from going into other rooms in the palace. So if you think about what your story is, what's gone in your life, and the particular events in your life that have occurred around forgiveness, the things that people have done, either intentionally or unintentionally, that have caused you pain, those experiences have added writing to your walls. You've made some assumptions and you've made some observations based on the things that have happened. In my particular case, with the sexual abuse, the assumptions that I made of myself were that I had no worth, that the world was not a safe place to be, men were bad people, and that being a woman meant that I was unsafe. And as I went through life with that writing on my walls, it kept me very, very small. It inhibited me in so many different ways, in business, in my personal life, in my parenting. Everything trickled down, and it affected, well, actually, it's not even a trickle. It's more like a sludge. Everything kind of crept in and strangled so many aspects of my life. What I learned is that when you start to change the way that you see your experiences, that's when you give yourself freedom. I have a dear friend who is a two-time cancer survivor. We'll call her Dee. Dee is a brilliant therapist, and she was having a tough time financially because she wasn't willing to charge. She couldn't find it in her heart to charge what she deserved to be paid for her services. She worked for a long time with indigents and homeless mothers and anyone else who couldn't pay for her therapy. If she charged them at all, she would ask for $5. As big as her heart was, she lived in a world where money was important. It's a reality. She had to pay her rent and she had to buy food, and she was barely scraping by. One day, she went to the doctor, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer. After facing her fears and being told that she would die, she decided that she wasn't going to let cancer beat her. She wasn't going to let cancer strip her of her right to live. She decided she was going to fight. And what that meant to her was that she wasn't going to take it lying down. She was going to change the recipe. She was going to change the way that she was thinking about a lot of things. And she was going to adapt her life in a way that she could live cancer-free. Rather than feeling sorry for herself and just giving up, she made a lot of changes. She changed her diet. She lost weight. She started taking care of herself in ways that she never, ever did before. She started to release her resentments from the past, forgiving the father who had sexually abused her, the mother who had beat her, and a system that totally ignored her talents and her skills. She started letting go of all of her emotional and physical clutter, all the stuff that was around her house that was just keeping her feeling depressed and anxious and feeling like she was she could never get on top of things and she could never organize herself. She began treating herself with love and respect. She started learning to listen to her body, and she started realizing, wow, you know, maybe now I'm overdoing it. Working 10 hours is too much. That's pushing too hard. She finally made the decision to put her finances in the hands of a manager who encouraged her to charge fairly for her services. And that meant letting go of some of her clients and finding other people who could serve them. Her confidence started to grow as her caseload increased. And people started paying her happily. There was no complaining. There was no, you know, upset. People were happy. They were thanking her for her service, and everything was good. At that time, she was passionate about continuing to move forward and change and grow. And she sought out alternative healing, and she got a coach, and she actually became a shaman. She spent time and energy being more active, and she started visualizing. Visualizing was a very key component. She started seeing herself as being healed and feeling great, and she was doing things in her imagination that she was unable to do before. Then, one day, she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she was in remission. Oh, my God! She was so overjoyed. Life was amazing. Things went beautifully for several years. But then at some point, her life took another turn for the worse. All of a sudden, she just stopped missing those appointments, and she stopped, you know, doing things that were really, really nurturing to herself, like going for massages or pedicures or, you know, taking that retreat and spending time with her friends and lunching and doing the things that nurtured her from the inside. She started to gain some weight, and at that time her parents were dying. Excuse me. Let me remind you to call me. My number is 760-888-5736. So what was happening at that time in Dee's life is her parents were dying and all the paper was starting to clutter up her home again. She had several years of unpaid taxes that she felt completely overwhelmed by, and all of the unresolved guilt, and sexual issues from her past started coming up and started resurfacing for her. And at the same time in her life, she was breaking up with a boyfriend. At that time, her life was really hitting the skids again. Just about the 5-year point, a critical time for cancer survivors. The doctor told her that she had a tumor in her ovary. Wow. That hit her like a ton of bricks. She regrouped and realized that her life was again telling her something so important, and it was giving her an opportunity. And what she was doing, the choices she was making, were making her to become ill again. So she pulled back again all of the unnecessary commitments and started looking at how she was spending her time and looking at her environment and cleaning it up again. And she started paying more attention to the thoughts that she was thinking. She went back to the meditating because she had completely dropped that. After struggling with her inner demons and fearing, you know, that things would not end up well for her, that she would actually die, she decided to stop being afraid of fear. And she just went ahead and she said, I'm just going for it. I'm going to beat the odds. And today, she's in remission. It's been many years since then. But the thing that Dee found out is one of the things that Dr. Simonton had pointed out was critical for the survival of the people who had cancer, the patients of his who had cancer. He looked at the difference between those who had the cancer and were willing to fight and those who were just kind of letting it slip by, and they were ignoring the protocols and all of the things that he told them to do to heal. They were just reticent. They just said, I'm giving up. This is it. In order for Dee, in order for the other cancer patients to survive and fight the illness, they had to want to live. Dee wanted to live. She wanted to live so much that it pushed aside and eclipsed her fear of dying. She focused so much on visualizing what she wanted. And one of the things that she had to do to heal herself was learn how to say the word no. No was so important for her. And it was actually her example of meeting her and hearing her tell her story to me about her two brushes with cancer that completely changed my thoughts on how I deal with my resentment. She gave me a real sense and appreciation for the word no, and now I know no is a complete sentence. And anybody who doesn't respect it and is stepping on your boundaries and trying to push your buttons, Now, I talk about, I have a whole section called Boundaries and Beliefs. I share so many ways that no, how you can start to create a new contract, or start forging new agreements with the people in your life and start stepping up in a different role. If you have been someone who, like Dee, she wanted so much to help everybody, she wanted to take care of everybody, and a big part of that was because she felt a need to be loved. She wanted to prove herself. That was important to her. And for someone to reject her or not want her services, that was very painful to her. Until cancer really, really gave her a strong sense of perspective. Please, I'd like to hear from you. My number is 760-888-5736. Cancer was the life situation or event that was totally out of Dee's control. Setting boundaries in her life and learning how to say no to others and yes to herself, that was a change that she was able and willing to make. You know, so many times people tend to just blame and blame and blame, and they dig themselves deeper into despair. But she chose, instead of doing that, to start forging a proactive path and going for it. And in so doing, she totally reclaimed her life. by doing whatever it is that she could, whatever was in her power, to support the work of, you know, her doctors and her medical team, she was participating in her own healing, which is what Dr. Simonton had talked about, participating in your own healing. Now, I share the example of Dee's life and her battle with cancer as a very strong example for you to look at what's going on in your life. You may not be facing cancer. That may not be the challenge that's going on for you. But you may be holding on to a resentment. You may be feeling angry because maybe you've lost a job, or maybe someone hurt you, or maybe you had a painful divorce, or maybe your children were taken away. There are so many things that happen in our lives that are absolutely and totally out of our control. Things will happen that will make your head spin. What Dee had done is she changed her response. She knew that if she just was complacent and if she didn't do anything to change her situation and she remained in the same environment and she stayed accepting, you know, clients who were not able to pay her and they would give her $5, she felt in herself, she questioned when she was in that place, as much as she wanted to help people, it led her to question her own value. And she thought, wow, what's wrong with me? Aren't I worth anything more than that? And when she started stepping up and making bigger claims in life, when she started doing things that were consistent with a person who was nurturing of themselves and taking care of themselves and aware of their self-worth and value, that's when her life started to change. And it showed up for her in remission from cancer. My particular experience was that, well, first, before I jump into that, this week I was reading in O Magazine, I was reading a Martha Beck article, and it was about the power of self-acceptance. And Martha had put together an acronym, SAVE, S-A-L-V-E. And she was talking about how self-acceptance, love, having a sense of one's value, and esteem is the core of a happy life. It was funny because the reason I picked it up was on the cover, I think it said thin thighs. Wait a minute. Happy thoughts equal thin thighs. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant. Great for a media release or something. But anyway, that's how my mind works. I'm always working, thinking of the next thing. But what I want you to realize is that it's that core, it's that kernel of self-love that I'm here to help you to find in order for your life to change and start moving in the direction that you want, that you deserve. I'd love to hear from you. Come on, 760-888-5736. I want to tell you about my first experience with forgiveness. Like so many people, I spent years doing the personal growth thing and, you know, affirmations and going to personal growth classes. Oh my gosh, I mean, since I was 14 when I started with Silver Mind Control, I was fascinated by the concept of being able to master your own destiny and change your thoughts, and, you know, you could create the life that you want. And I saw a lot of traction in some places where I was able to achieve a certain amount. But kind of like stepping on the brake at the same time that you're hitting the gas pedal, there was this jerky movement going back, going forward five spaces and going back three, four. And I always wondered, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this? Why can't I be happier? Why can't I do the things that everybody else does? Why am I so miserable in so many ways? I had a lot of things that held me back. I remember when I first married my husband, I was so uncomfortable and so shy that every opportunity to spend time with his family in like a group setting, weddings, any kind of invitation, I would make up excuses because I was so uncomfortable in the presence of other people. A lot of situations like this. In business, I found myself in situations where I would get totally overwhelmed by the clutter on my desk, that I would miss the opportunities to call the important people that I needed to write the business that was needed, to go after the tenants who owed money. All of these things, I had very little sense of being able to keep track of myself, because in so many ways I had set up so much chaos in my life. And now, going forward, looking back in retrospect, I realized that the reason is because I did not feel that I could handle the challenges of whatever was going on. I didn't feel that I was worth it. I didn't feel that I was worthy of the task at hand, or that I had the stuff, or whatever the case may be. That also explained why, for so many years, I was complacent and never even thought to question, you know, or demand making more than $150 a week for like 16 years running the family business. When you don't feel good about yourself, when you don't think that you're worth it, when your experiences have taught you that there's something wrong with you, or that there's a reason to feel ashamed or be shameful, that you judge yourself as being shameful, or maybe someone else has judged you. You'll remember that I talked last week about Dr. Maxwell Maltz and how we walk around with an image of who we see ourselves to be in our mind's eye. And that's the image that we carry with us going forward. And unless we can actually do something to counteract that image, to see ourselves in a different and unique light that is contrary to that negative image in our brain, we'll continue to do the actions and will continue to play the role of the person who we believe ourselves to be. Now, in talking about forgiveness, come on, I want to hear from you. 760-888-5736. I would love to talk with you. In talking about forgiveness, this is so critical because I really want you to get it. I really want you to understand is that if there are things that you are doing in life that are repetitive and compulsive or obsessive, things that like over shopping, overeating, spending hours in front of the TV when you need to be writing a report or drinking or smoking, doing anything like that to kind of put a Band-Aid over the way that you feel, that is a screaming cry to you to take a look at what's going on. I was blown away this morning. I was listening to the radio, and the hostess is going to be redistributing, the company Hostess is going to be redistributing, and Twinkies and Ho-Hos or whatever, another snack cake, I can't think of what Hostess's brand is, but they're going to be back on the shelves, and the amount that's been paid is $410 million, which means that the United States is valuing junk food and investing to the tune of $410 million. What is that saying about us as a society? What does that mean, that we are ingesting so much junk? Well, what it says is that there's something desperately wrong, and we're looking in the wrong places for the solutions. I have nothing. I got to tell you, I may sound like a hypocrite. I have nothing against junk food. But if you really look at this from a big picture point of view, a $410 million budget spent on Twinkies and Ho-Hos to be manufactured to go on supermarket shelves as of June, that is insane. It is screaming, help us. Are you one of those people who is screaming, help me? Are you feeling like you're eating out of control? Are you frustrated because you can't seem to stop feeling angry? Are you in a place where you feel sad or overwhelmed? I'm going to tell you my experience is that what you need to do is you need to stop looking outside for the solution. The solution is not inside. Outside, it's inside. You have to go within. If you're craving something, expecting to find happiness in food or drugs or drinking or smoking or sex or anything else that's going on, it means there's something that's missing for you. There's a piece of you that you're not feeling connected with. Back to Martha Beck's article, the salve, S-A-L-V-E, self-acceptance, love, value, esteem. If you're not feeling it and you can't tap into it, then it's likely that you're looking for it outside of yourself. And I'm going to tell you, pull back, because it's inside. Let me tell you about my journey of how I discovered it was inside. And this is emotional for me. As I explained, come on, guys, I'd love to talk to you. 760-888-5736. If you're thinking about calling, now is a great time to do it. I talk a lot and I am passionate about a process called Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And if you are looking for a way of kind of looking at it, conceptualizing it, think of it as being similar to, in terms of quality, similar to talking to, connecting with something that's bothering you at the same time that you're getting a fabulous massage. It's like an inside and outside healing or a wonderful kind of relaxation. That's what it is. Emotional freedom technique is the grandchild of acupuncture, 5,000-year-old science that was developed by Chinese doctors. They discovered that our bodies have these energy, these flows of energy, these highways of energy, that your body is basically a source of different points of energy. And that your body is always responding to your environment, whatever is going on. When things are going great, the energy is magnificent and it's flowing beautifully. But when something happens to shut you down, make you feel anxious or sad, a trauma, frighten you, it blocks your energy. It's kind of like throwing, what is it called, throwing a cog in the wheel. Like if you think about your energy as this wonderful, flowing kind of dancing movement, it's like putting the brakes on everything. Oh, okay, simple. The car sparked. Oh, my goodness. Come on, guys, call me because I had a brain drain here. You know, when you are starting a car, jumper cables, thank you. Okay, right, jumper cables. When your car battery is drained out and you're stuck on the road or something and you need a jump start, you connect your jumper cables to the battery of your car and you pulse it and you give it new energy through the circulation of electricity. In the same way, your body is made up of channels of electricity. It's a low level electromagnetically charged system. And when you're in that place where you're off, where your energy is off and you're not feeling yourself, where you're in that bad place, kind of like you need a jump start. Now, the thing is, we don't realize it. We could go for years and years and years and years on dead batteries, just kind of slogging through life, just doing the absolute minimum, settling for a low-paying job, letting an abusive marriage take toll, or, you know, having a miserable life, having no friends. I mean, all these things are indicative of a person whose energy is not in alignment. When you're not living your passion, when you're not living from your core, from your center. That was me. My memories of my abuse would run like Technicolor. Whenever I would hear like news flashes or something, hear about, you know, a child molested or whatever, there were so many different ways that my mind would get fooled into getting stuck all over again and acting out the part of victim all over again, that it was almost impossible to be strong. So as part of that, being fearful was a very, very big thing for me, because fear has been a thread in my life for a very long time. And what was going on one weekend, I was getting ready to go to my NLP practitioner training, and I knew beforehand that my family was going to be taking off and bringing my stepdaughter to North Carolina back home. And for some reason, my husband asked me, what did I want to do? And I said, I really want to go to class. I never thought to myself that that would be the consequence, that if, you know, I said I wanted to go to class, then I'd be alone, staying home in the dark. And the day that I went to class, something happened where I heard one of my classmates tell a story that triggered memories of abuse for me, and it mixed with my memories of my fear of facing the dark and being alone in the house that night. And what happened was I went into a full-scale panic attack. I was sitting in a circle of my colleagues, and I was so fully associated in my memory of the abuse and my fear, and I was just a mess. My next-door neighbor, the woman who was sitting next to me, my classmate, she tapped on me to get my attention, and she said, "Andrea, are you okay?" And I shook my head, "No." And she kind of pulled me out of the room. And as the door closed, I was so immersed in my pain and fear, I started sobbing out of control. And I heard her say through my tears, "Andrea, I know you don't know what it is that I do, but I'm an emotional freedom technique practitioner. And if you will allow me to tap on different parts of your face and your hands, I can help you." And she asked me, "Can you speak?" And I shook my head. There was a lump in my throat from tension that I couldn't speak at all. She said, "That's okay. Can you hum?" And I shook my head. Yes, I could hum. She said, "All I want you to do is I want you to start humming, and I'm just going to start tapping on your hand and your face, and all I want you to do is hum." And I'm going, "Hmm, hmm, 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 hmm." And she's talking, and I'm hearing her say, "Even though, even though, even though." And it made no sense to me. I was just so fully immersed in my body, feeling all of this. It was like a volcano inside of me. And I know that she was tapping very gently on me because I could see, but it felt to me like she was smacking me with a pillow. I could feel the energy. It was like there was an energy buffer between my body and, you know, her hand, that there was something that was moving in my body. Within a couple seconds or so, I was able to get my voice and recollect myself a little bit. And she said, "Can you speak?" And I was able to speak at that point. And then from there, I participated in my own healing in the way that she was able to help me and provide for me the vehicle, which was the emotional freedom technique, and the tapping, as I broke down in my memory the individual aspects or the individual pieces of the reasons why I was so upset. So what that means is that I dissected the memory of the abuse, and at the same time I was tapping, or she was tapping on me, actually, as I was speaking about those memories and saying the words that she had me say, which was basically like an affirmation, it changed the way that I saw my experience. I completely saw my experience of abuse as being something that, it just blows my mind to even think about it, but instead of looking at myself as the consummate victim, which I always had, I came out of it realizing, oh my God, if I can come out of that alive, look at the gift that I have to share with other women. In that moment, I saw a whole new vision for my life. I had spent years in pursuit of reconciling those memories of abuse through traditional talk therapy and workshops and personal growth, and I mean years, 18 and a half. And I was kind of a slave to my own, you know, desire to be healed. And in those few minutes, I was able to understand, not just on a logical level, why I had to forgive my stepfather and all of those other men. But I got it in my heart. I finally saw the connection of all of the things that I was afraid of, all of the pain that I put myself through, all of the silly little mind games that I had created and the little sabotage things that I had, that I was doing with my marriage to kind of undermine my own happiness. All of those things were the result of me trying to punish me. So now let me put this on you. What do you think of the idea of letting go of the things that are hurting you? As I had said, when I was with the girls at Spring Valley High, I took a bunch of rocks, different shapes and sizes, and I put them into a big, heavy bag. And at the beginning of my talk, I said to the girls that I wanted them each to take a pile of rocks, and I wanted them to hold those. And I wanted them to get a sense of that weight and how it feels, how it drains you, how much effort you have to put forth to hold up that kind of burden, how much strength it requires in your arms, in your physical body, in your spirit. Now, I said to them, if you think about those rocks that you're holding now as the life experiences that you hold with you every day, all of the things that people have done to hurt you, all of the disappointments and all of the pain and all of the hurt that you suffered. Do you realize that if you don't actually make the choice to let it go, you're going to be holding on to it forever because you see it as yours, because you see it as your burden to carry? I would love to hear from you. Give me a call, 760-888-5736. So what I would like to leave you with is to realize that you can participate in your own healing by changing your response to the situation. You don't have to continue to hold on. In the next coming weeks, I'm going to be relaunching my Curvy and Confident Coaching Club, and I will be talking more about that. But for now, I'd like to ask you to visit me on Twitter. You'll find that I'm offering a survey for you to fill out and share your thoughts with me, because it's really important for me to be able to serve you at the level that you need. As my gift to you for completing the survey, you're going to get a free download of my book, Love in the Skin You're In. That's worth $9.99. This week, I want you to think about, each week we end up the call by me asking you to take a look at the back of my book that you can purchase on thejuicywoman.com. The name of the book is Love in the Skin You're In. It is an empowerment guide, the most comprehensive empowerment guide that you will ever find. When you go to the back of the book, there is a checklist, and the checklist is my way of tapping you on the shoulder on a daily basis and saying, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you pay attention to this today? Today, I want you to pay attention to the things in your life that are going on and ask yourself, am I taking responsibility for everything I can in my life? Am I doing whatever I can to be mindful of my response? Or am I just kind of letting life pass me by? What's going on? Until next Wednesday, take good, good care of yourself. And let's stay connected on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. I can't wait to share more. It is such a pleasure to be with you. I love it. If anybody wants to call me, last chance. My number is 760-888-5736. Okay. Have a great day and a fabulous week. Bye, Juicy Woman.